First John, chapter 2. Verse 12. I brought unto you little children, darling infants, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. That's the spiritual child, darling infant. The only thing that you know is that your sin is forgiven. Now, even in the most heretical churches, we teach this, your sin is forgiven. So that's a wonderful thing, to know that your sin is forgiven. But that's still the point in time in which you're in the world. You're still in the world, but you know your sin is forgiven. In verse 13, I wrote unto you fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. Fathers are the only ones that can reproduce themselves spiritually. And so I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is not in the text if you look at it. You have known him from the beginning. So we went from a jump from the little darling infant to the father position. And this is just like we've talked about many times, but it's just like the Psalms of Ascent. We like to think the Psalms of Ascent would be a smooth ride up to the mercy seat. But it isn't. It's up and down and up and down and up and down, which is the way we see. The next, I write unto you young men. And there it's the young men or young adults is the word. They're in the promised land, but they're not in the mercy seat. Because you've overcome the wicked one. And I brought into you again little children. This is Paidon, which is teenager. I brought into you teenagers because you've known him. You don't know him now, but you have known him once. You're still in the wilderness, and the wilderness has confused you to no end. You don't know whether you believe or not, but somehow you know you believed once. And I brought into you fathers because you've known him from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men or young adults, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So it went from little child, darling infant, to the father position. And it goes little children, teenagers, young adults, fathers. Those are the four positions that each believer is in. One of them, not necessarily all the time. And then this, it doesn't seem to connect the next verses. Love not the world, and that's agapeo. Give importance to nothing in the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, the will of God isn't complicated. He that doeth the will of God, it's not you out doing massive different things. It is what?
That has to be Christ in you.
But it's more than that. It's you in Christ. Christ in you is as common as dust. You in Christ is as rare as a hen's teeth. I don't know what that means, but I heard it often. Then in verse 18, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist should come, or shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, or instead of Christs, whereby we know that it is the last time. The word many is polios, and it means almost all. It's translated in Revelation where they were going to count. They were saying that the number of angels and beings around the throne is greater than you could count. Why is the Antichrist here now? When did it happen? Little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come, and it now already is in the world. This should cause people to understand that the idea of a singular Antichrist is not in the Bible. Because the Antichrist is the instead of Christ, and the instead of Christ is you, me, all men. Jesus was the last Adam. There was something that he altered the universe. He was the last Adam. Ever since Christ, your natural being is the instead of Christ. That's who you are. That's who your mind is, the instead of Christ. And you figure out every kind of possible way to use your mind and do it with impunity. You think it's great to use your mind because God has given you a new mind. No, he hasn't. As long as you are giving and using your mind in this world, you are of the instead of Christ. There's no middle ground.
What about your mind being renewed?
It's renewed is anakinesis. It means that which was, is, and will be. It doesn't. It's a condition that is full of possibilities. But the possibilities have to be when you're the end result is when you live by faith alone. The mind of Christ is emptiness, and that's the only mind he's given you. And let's go up to chapter 4 of 1 John. Beloved, believe not every spirit. And again, remember, a spirit is something other than corporal flesh. It's something without a body. So thoughts are without a body. Words are without a body. They're spirit. Everybody see that? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many, again, as polis, almost all. Hereby you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And that confess here doesn't mean you just agree with it. It means you live it. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist where you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You were of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They, who? They, the Antichrist, the instead of Christs, are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. As I said, that's the most that's the most arrogant statement in the Bible. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Can you think of anything more arrogant than that? The reason is everybody is the instead of Christ. Every man and woman alive since Christ is the instead of Christ. It's not anti, it's not against, it's instead of. Who is the instead of Christ in you as the temple of God? You are. Your mind is. There's no doubt. Your mind can't be fixed. But we continue to use it.
Is there any change in the nature of being a person who's born again?
Well, that's the start. That gives him the possibility of being of value to God. The one who is truly a disciple is one who lives by faith alone. But again, it's that thing we saw where you go from little children to father to teenager to little children to... Because we go all over the map until we finally find out that our mind is the evil one. And when you finally know that, then you rush to repent every time your mind comes there. Every time you think of it for any reason. Now, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. The day of what? The day of Christ. That day shall not come except there come an apostasy, a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So the man of sin, the son of perdition, has to be revealed so that from the standpoint of God, you have no excuse after this man of sin is revealed. Because then once he's revealed, then everybody, you have to know that the man of sin is you. And that's now he's defined. The man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The one that's sitting in the temple of God is you are the temple of God. And the one that's sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God, is because he sits in judgment of what is good or evil. Your mind always, as long as your mind is there, then this is what you will do. You will show yourself that you're God, the same as Eve. That was the temptation of Eve and Adam, to be as God, knowing good and evil. So you can't, but what happens then? I promise you what happens is you all come to find out, my God, I can't believe I've been believing this lying bastard for my whole life. It's never been my friend, not once. So now I can begin, now I can start at least to see that my mind, that I am the instead of Christ. Because there's nothing you are except your mind. That's who you are. That's who defines you. That's who defines all of us. Let no man deceive you, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin, the son of perdition, be revealed, and he has been revealed. You may not believe it, but he has been revealed. The man of sin, the son of perdition, is you. The instead of Christ is you. As we said so often, anti doesn't mean against. It means instead of. You are the body of Christ. You shouldn't have the instead of Christ as your operating organ. You should be abandoned. Let's go to Revelation 13 real quick. I said real quick, and I can't get there real quick. Verse 18, one verse. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of man. And again, in Greek, it doesn't say it is the number of a man. It says it's the number of man. And that word is anthropos. And it's the number of all men. And the number is 66. That number is 666. Because your mind can never be at rest. And yet at rest is what defines whether Christ is in you or not. If you know, if your mind isn't at rest, especially in, as we've talked about often, in the midnight hour when all the fantasies and crap come up, Then you're kidding yourself if you think that Christ, he may be in you, but you put him in prison. We are the temple of God, and just like the temples in past had a prison in the Lord's dungeon, we put Christ in that prison when we are present. He cannot occupy, he will not occupy where you are. I just felt we need to review this every once in a while. His number, it's the number of mankind, it's the number of all men, and the number is 666. Because it can never be at 7, and 7 is not the goal. 8 is the goal. That's what we celebrated. Fortunately, I wasn't there. On Tabernacles. The 8th day is the 8th. It's the day of Ascension. That's what everything we do is about, is leading to that 8th day. It's what everything in the Bible is about, leading to that 8th day. And if you're not about everything about that, then you've got a problem. If you're about anything else other than the 8th day, then you have some kind of a problem. Is there any understanding of this, or do you think I'm nuts? Or both? If you know that your mind is the instead of Christ, how can you continue to use it? And it's easy. I mean, again, you are the temple of God. It says it over and over. You just saw in Thessalonians that he sits himself in the temple of God, showing himself he's God, because he judges good and evil. He judges what he's going to do and not do. That's all the evil one. Instead of abandonment of self. Faith alone. It's not easy. It's the scariest thing there is in the world. But if you believe anything else, if you're not at least moving towards that, then repentance is quickly necessary.
I tell you, the one part about all this that never settles with me is what it means to be empty. Because the implication, empty means nothing.
Well, it means nothing of the flesh. The emptiness is the only way that's what fills the temple with the Holy Spirit.
So Christ wasn't empty, he was full. And full of the Spirit, and the mind of the Spirit was his mind.
It's abandonment. No, he never used his mind. He never gave thought for tomorrow. Because everything was boom, boom. There was no...
But there's no... It's like he was not empty-headed.
No, he was empty in terms of the use of his mind as Son of Man.
But he used his mind as Son of God.
No, he was empty. That led the Holy Spirit to constantly have him in direct communion with the Father.
So there's no mind in that transaction, although it says there is.
What?
Where does it say? Christ.
The mind of Christ is defined. It's defined as empty to the point of a vacuum. That's the meaning. That's the only place the mind of Christ is defined.
Yeah, taking no thought, taking no thought for tomorrow, even the most basic things.
But hear me. The evil one, which is all of us, in my opinion, will do everything in the possible to keep him in the picture. That's his job. And he's got that assignment by God. So that finally we are no longer continuing with him in our tests. Our tests are gone. Now we continue with him in his tests. And that test it'll cost you your life. At least cost you your reputation. It costs you everything. But let this mind be in you. Thought not something to be grasped, but emptied himself, made himself of no reputation. And that's the word that means empty to the point of a vacuum. But it isn't a vacuum from God's standpoint. Now it's fulfilled with the Holy Spirit.
See, that's the part that's missing. You never go there. You always say empty. But there's never any...
I've said it from the beginning.
Said what?
You don't... But the mind of Christ is empty. That's what it says. So that it can be filled only with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit never gives breath. There's never anything that the Holy Spirit does that isn't of the now. There's no, what am I going to do about this? There's now. And he won't occupy where you are. As long as you're doing the things of the world, then the Holy Spirit, he takes the lowest seat. So as Christ does, he takes the lowest seat. And only what we do is we're literally putting him in prison. we can say that Christ is in all men because of what happened at Pentecost. That's fine. That's great. But that's not the end. The end is you in Christ and in Him alone. You live by faith alone. No more leaning on your own arm of understanding for anything. And that's where the power of God is.
Amen.
Anyway, take it, big guy.